Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised.
Do I have butthole mouth? I think so. So I took it all off.
Greetings, fellow tarts. Ashley here, head hussy in charge. And we are continuing to not read the terrible books I pick with the guest choice theme. And Elena, it's not like you've been trying to get me to read this for about 3 years or anything. The book we're going to be finally getting to today is A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness. Hello, Elena.
Here we are. We've had no previous discussion. We've had no technical problems.
No.
Everything has been perfect today. Yeah. And thank you for having me back.
No cats stomping on keyboards or anything.
No photos sent of your cat sitting on your keyboard, looking adorable and destructive.
She's like, I am the star of this show. I'm like, okay, all right, get the fuck off my laptop, please.
Yeah, no, this podcast is called Turgid Ratchet. Ratchet has main character energy, is what it is.
She is the main character. It's all about her. Okay, so, you know, it's been about 3 years, finally getting to it. You actually have also, there is a show. They've made a show of this book series, and you have watched all of it or one season? Or
I watched, it's funny because we can talk about that too, because I watched the first two seasons years ago, right after I had read the books, and I really was not impressed. So then after I finished this book, I was like, I'm going to go back and give the show another shot. So I watched the first season and I was like, oh, it's actually a bit better than I remembered. I still believe the characters are not quite how they are described in the books, but it's actually better than I remember. So I'm watching it again. So we'll see. We'll see if I like the show better this time. But the books, I feel, hold up, and they're not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. But I'm excited to talk about it.
Okay. All right.
Here we go, talking about books that I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And you're like, can we put this off for another 2 years?
All right. Yes. Let's get into drinks, which I have a pint of wine already. It's been a day. So it's like just past one and it's already been a day. Okay. Elena, what drink did you choose to go with this book?
Well, I originally was going to get some red wine because they drink red wine like water in this book, and I just couldn't force myself. I don't like red wine. I couldn't force myself to do it. So I settled with a rosé, which is bitch for red wine. And
I've never heard that. I don't know.
It is what it is. But I chose the brand Prophecy because I felt that was very apropos for today's book choice. So I am drinking Prophecy Rosé wine in a glass that has witches on it. And I don't know, Ashley, if you can see that, but they have little witches dancing.
I've had that brand before. They have the really pretty bottles.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Very tasty. But what did I saw you were sipping on something in your pint glass. What are you sipping on?
Wine, period. Any kind. Doesn't matter. They only talked about it like every other page, just about. So
that's what I'm saying. Non-stop wine.
Or, you know, alternatively, you could do tea, because they also talked a lot about tea, but they have to be just only the bougiest. And I'm flicking my nose. Only the bougiest of wine and cheese.
Because we're vampires. We've been alive forever. So we've had tons of stock options. And we now are very rich.
We have such refined taste. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Speaking of, this is a little aside moment that happened. I was listening to this book. I listened to it on audio. Uh-huh. I had it on, I didn't have my headphones in, I was putzing around the kitchen, and it came to a part
where one of the many that they're talking about what the wine smells like or tastes like or something, or what each other smell like. I don't know. There's lots of sensory stuff in this book. So like I'm tuned in, but I'm kind of zoned out because I'm like, here we go, talking about smells again. And I didn't think anything of it. And Nicholas walked through the kitchen.
He's like, what is this shit?
So I'm like, I'm cooking, I'm doing whatever I'm doing. And he's like, it smells like the most delicate of honeysuckles, but a very rare honeysuckle that no one else knows about. And yes, the aroma of cloves. And like, just something, just really into it. And he walks through the kitchen and he stops and he turns around with this face and he's like, what are you listening to?
You know what? Put your judge-free face away, Nick. That's all we have to say
about that. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. So he's like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, oh, it's a discovery of witches. I don't remember verbatim what he said, but he said something like, that's the most obnoxious, pretentious, blah, blah, blah way to describe a smell I've ever heard in my life. He just went on this rant.
You know what, Nick? Haters gonna hate is all I have to say.
Wait, I had to pause it. I'm like crying. Is it what? Like, yeah. The scene he's talking. I think Matthew was talking about how Diana smelled. She asked how she smelled or something.
Yeah.
And I think he was going into it and it was like this very like overly verbose kind of. And I'm like, oh, you smell all that? All right. So, but well, it's like, hey, at least he's saying nice things. He's well, like, you smell like shit.
I mean, what I've heard before is that dogs, canines in general, they smell, instead of if you're cooking a soup, they don't smell the soup. They smell the carrots, the potatoes, they can separate all the scents. So I think that's what this is supposed to be. Matthew is supposed to be like a wolf. So it's supposed to be like his sense of smell is so amazing that he can pick all these different things out. And she smells like things that she's never even touched just because she's a witch. So she just naturally has these aromas coming off of her, which... It's so weird.
Lots of aroma. It was like this whole like monologue, and he you said, he's going over like the different aromas individually,
right?
And even I'm sitting there thinking like, damn, she smells like a lot, but at least it's all nice. And then here comes Nick and he's like, what is this, like, drivel?
This is how I wish for you to address me, as a woman who smells of all of these delicious fragrances. Learn from this moment, Nick. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, what do I smell like? And he's probably gonna say garlic, because I'm cooking with garlic, you know? Like,
my husband's like, french fries. Well, yeah, most likely. I probably do.
Oh my god. It's like, I don't know. When's the last time I washed my hair? Do we want to talk about it? So I'm just like,
do I smell like onions? Have I been cutting them? Is it just me? Who knows?
Let's not discuss. Moving on. Just like, run out of the room.
It's like, you smell like taco meat. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Like, he just walked in at the perfect time.
The most ridiculous moment.
Like, I was just like, oh my gosh. And I'm not gonna lie, I was like a little, I don't want to talk about it. Just keep walking. I would not like to discuss more aromas and smells, please. Just continue on. Carry on. All right. And for the snack, there was a lot of talk of, I think, raw food, because vampires can only really like properly digest
nuts and seeds and raw foods. Yeah.
Yeah, so nuts. So obviously nuts. But only the bougiest of nuts with all the aromas. All right, I'm flicking my nose again, guys.
Fancy nuts.
Like, I'm sure Matthew thinks he has the fanciest nuts, but we'll see. All right.
Well, he didn't share them with her at all during this first book.
We're gonna fucking talk about it, okay?
She's so pissed off at me.
I'm too. Shit. Oh my god. I was like, this prudy pants motherfucker. What is he talking about? We're gonna get into it.
Okay, we're back. Okay. We're back. Sorry.
Let's talk a little bit about the author. Deborah Harkness is a number one New York Times bestseller who draws on her expertise as a historian of science, medicine, and the history of the book to create rich narratives steeped in magical realism, historical curiosity, and deeply human questions about what it is that makes us who we are. Having spent more than a quarter of a century as a student and scholar of history, Harkness holds degrees from Mount Holyoke College, Northwestern University, and the University of California, Davis. She is currently a professor at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, where she teaches European history and the history of science. How cool would that be if she was your professor?
Amazing. I mean,
that'd be so
I would
cool.
Love that.
I mean, she clearly knows what she's talking about, like, obviously.
Especially in book two, when they are, in fact, in 1590, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, book two is more fun, I think, than book one for that reason.
So what ends up happening a lot with series, the first book is the info dump. It's called First Book Syndrome. They got to set everything up for you so you understand the system, the setting, the magical hierarchy. You know, you have, like, everything has to be set up in the first book, and sometimes it's just one big info dump.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful with how you do it, because a lot of people just don't have, and especially nowadays, people don't have the attention span for that kind of thing.
Right.
So what happens with series is a lot of the first books, people are just like, nah, it's too much. But then they miss out on the rest of the series, which once you've had that info dump, you pretty much know most of what you need to know. And then you can just get into the story and the adventure.
Right.
Are you about to take a sip? What's happening?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Let's get into the Brazen Book Report. Elena, how would you summarize this book?
I wrote like a five paragraph long summary. And
you know what? Guess what? That's great. Because I did like a sentence.
I knew
really,
you would.
Even when I was doing the book report, I was thinking to myself, I really hope Elena has an in-depth summary, because I absolutely do not. And I refuse.
Well, I sure fucking do. I sure
Take
fucking
it away.
Do. All right. So forgive me, listeners. I have a really long summary. The words literally say short summary. And I was like, cool. This is as succinct as I could get.
I'm going to change them to info dump.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. All right. So Diana Bishop, a noted historian and non-practicing witch, accidentally discovers a long-lost manuscript whilst researching in the University of Oxford's Bodleian Library. The manuscript, Ashmole 782, has been magically hidden for centuries, and the fact that Diana is capable of calling it from the stacks means something incredibly significant. Soon she finds herself surrounded by creatures, including witches, vampires, and demons, who appear to be following her. Diana then meets the broodingly mysterious Matthew Claremont, a vampire scientist who studies DNA. Matthew and a couple vampires in his close-knit circle protect Diana, keeping her safe from the creatures who apparently want the manuscript. Diana has fought the urge to use magic since her parents both tragically died when she was only 7 years old, but her dormant magic keeps popping up without her even realizing she's using it. However, she can no longer call the manuscript from the stacks. Matthew and Diana spend a great deal of time together, fall in love, and he takes her to his family home in France to protect her. Unfortunately, she is still abducted and tortured by another witch who demands to know about Diana's powers and the manuscript, Ashmole 782. Thankfully, Matthew rescues her, and it is discovered that Diana's magic was spellbound by her parents when she was a child for her own protection. Matthew takes her to her aunt's home in New York, where they hide out and try to safely access Diana's powers. Lots of chaos ensues, including an unfortunate visit from Matthew's old flame, Juliet, and Diana bargains with the goddess in order to spare his life. It is soon revealed that Diana's father was a time walker and that Diana shares this power. She and Matthew must find Ashmole 782 in the past, so it's time to travel to Elizabethan England in book two. That's
yes,
it.
That's it. That's everything.
I tried to be as succinct as possible, but so much happens. Like a million things.
Yeah.
Really excited to hear how you summarized all of that in one sentence.
No, you're not. Oh, excuse me. I was feeling really bitter with the first sentence, and so then
okay.
I was like, oh, that's kind of mean, and then I added another sentence.
Okay. Elena has terrible taste. The end.
The first sentence I put down was, dry as the toast Diana loves so much.
Oh my god. I was taking a sip, listeners, and I almost blew it out of my nose.
I tried to I was feeling really bitter, okay?
Oh my god, so good. Okay.
Right. And then I just kind of like jotted down some things that happened in this sentence. Wine and tea tasting documentary that happens to have vampires, witches, yoga, horseback riding. And what was the other thing it had that was really like, well,
bundling.
We're going to get into that. We're going to get too deep into that because it's like,
not
what
too
the fuck?
Deep. Not, you can't get too deep if you're
you
bundling.
Can't.
Just the tip.
All right. We're going to gross everyone out. Because when I first heard about this shit, I was like, this is why we need sex education for these children. What the fuck?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so, rowing. Okay. I'm going to start again. A wine and tea tasting documentary that happens to have vampires, witches, rowing, yoga, and horseback riding.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good, I guess. Nothing about the actual plot, but pretty good. Pretty good.
Elena.
Yes.
So many pages. So many hundreds of pages were dedicated to these things. And I was like, why?
Universe building.
No. And we're going to talk about it in my least favorite part. All right. Let's just get this over.
Is this the opposite of moody, broody, and attitude-y? Bring it. Bring it on, bitch. Let's go.
This is just Ashley just not giving a shit about this book at all.
This whole month is literally like Ashley sacrificing her time and energy to read other people's books that they like and just wanting to talk shit and trying to hold herself back.
Yes, yeah, exactly. This whole episode is going to be me trying to rein it in, trying to
That's
hold
okay.
myself back. Because I don't want to be too mean.
It's
like,
fine.
I know I'm mean. I can definitely see why people would like this. My attention span, however.
Yeah.
It was just like, nope. Boop. And was just shut. It's like, no, look, I want to hear. Oh, a bird. And just like, my brain was just, we don't want it. We don't
no.
want it. And I was like, God damn it. Okay.
My brain, meanwhile, is like, give me all of this.
You're like, yes, absorbing. Yes, yes. And my
ooh,
brain's
a tall, thin, mysterious man. Give me all of it.
My brain's like, been there, done that. Anyways, let's move on to something else. Let's read a book about cannibalism. What were some good quotes, Elena? Quotes that you liked?
Well, there weren't a lot of sex scenes, so I'm not going to give you any, like, you know, sexy times. I know that's why people listen to this podcast, so that they can hear about the sex. But really, there isn't any
Excuse
sex
Excuse me, ma'am. We also read young adults.
I know this podcast is only for wieners, but... Wieners only. Yeah.
Us wieners only.
What if I start a competing pod called Wieners Only, and then
Do
I just
it.
See what happens?
We'll just constantly guess on each other's pod.
No, we'll just talk shit. We won't guess on each other. We'll just talk
just
shit about each
We're
other.
We're just going to like talk shit back and forth, so you have to listen to both of them to get the full context.
We'll create a rivalry. We'll go viral. Yeah. It's going to be so hot.
Yeah, have you heard of that podcast? Wieners Only. Lame.
Yeah, exactly.
Placid.
Yeah, because you're the classy one, and I'm Wieners Only. So the first one is Matthew talking to Balthazar the horse, which I think is funny. And it's, yes, I see that you're behaving like a prince, but that doesn't mean you won't behave like a devil at the first opportunity. I just really, I liked that because it's representative of Matthew as well. You know, he's acting like a prince, but we don't know. Will he be a devil?
He's acting like a bitch. Okay.
Like a little bitch. Okay. So the second one is Isabeau, whichever, which is Matthew's mother. And it's her speaking to Diana. And she is saying, it is a blessing as well as a burden to love so much that you can hurt so badly when love is gone. And I 100%, I know it's a serious one, but I 100% agree with that. Like it's beautiful, but yeah, it could be painful. All right. Third quote. This one is Diana herself, main character energy right here. Somewhere in the center of my soul, a rusty chain began to unwind. It freed itself link by link from where it was rested, unobserved, waiting for him. My hands, which had been balled up and pressed against his chest, unfurled with it. The chain continued to drop to an unfathomable depth where there was nothing but darkness in Matthew. At last, it snapped to its full length, anchoring me to a vampire. Despite the manuscript, despite the fact that my hands contained enough voltage to run a microwave, and despite the photograph, as long as I was connected to him, I was safe. I think that's basically a good summary of the book. That's it. That's it right there. Yeah, she's zoned out
during that quote.
She's already gone, guys. She's already gone. Fan-fucking-tastic. So, Ashley, since you're so bored by this book and you hate it 100%.
I just don't care. I'm like, I don't care. I got halfway through. I was like, how is it like 11 hours? I don't even care.
My life is being sucked out of me as if by a vampire.
Oh, ironic.
What kind of quotes did you have of your least favorite book?
So this is like a, you know, this is a pretty apt one. There's nothing more powerful than human fear. Not magic, not vampire strength, nothing.
Nice. Accurate, yeah.
Okay, so this is Diana to Matthew, I'm pretty sure. My ideas about vampires may be romantic, but your attitudes toward women need a major overhaul. Yes. Yes. Agreed.
Disagree, but okay.
We're gonna fucking fight. We're gonna fucking fist fight. All right. I don't know why, but like this quote just really, I was like, really? Like, this is Diana, like in the beginning of the book. She's going through different texts and stuff, and she's basically talking about how much she loves history, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Without modern magic, how would a modern woman understand men who had lived so long ago? Diana, they're very simple creatures. What do you mean?
You can learn more about how simple of creatures they are at my podcast, Dicks Only. Only wieners, hashtag dicks only.
This line just hit me sideways, and I'm like, girl, what do you mean? What, like, they're so complicated? It's very simple. They didn't even have tech. What do you mean, Diana?
No, they literally pooped in like a little bucket and then threw it out their window. Like, it was pretty simple.
There was no indoor plumbing, no. There was no electricity. What do you mean you have to have magic to understand that in modern times? No. I don't know. It just like I heard that and I was like, girl, stop. Okay, so last one.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't find any sexy quotes. But
it's not that I didn't find them. It's that I didn't feel like sharing them.
Because they're really fucking bad. Okay, so
yeah. Book one doesn't have that many sexy times in it.
I don't recall hearing this because I probably blocked it out. But I went on Goodreads after the fact to look up quotes, and this popped up and I laughed hysterically. Okay, are you ready?
I am ready, girl. Give me that quote.
We kissed each other long and deep while my legs opened like the covers of a book.
Talk booky to me, I guess. I don't know.
I'm just like, wow, what imagery. So shocking, so romantic.
Long and deep and spread them. Like the book you're reading right now. Meta. What? Yeah. Yep.
Oh, open that. How that went? No. Okay.
You're like, here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the book. There's your vag. Is that how it goes?
We're adults.
Yeah. Composed.
Elena, what was your favorite part of this book?
So I did this book report like a week ago, and I don't know if this is actually my favorite part, but at the time, a week ago, I was really feeling it. So my favorite part is anytime the aunt's house is a character in the book.
Yes.
So the house is like, fuck you. And then just like takes things away. And then sometimes it's like, we're going to have visitors. Now there's an extra room. Where did the room come from? No one knows. Mystery. The house is a character. Or like, suddenly there's an extra rocking chair. We got rid of this rocking chair years ago. The house says no. Here's the rocking chair. Like, why? I just love it. It's so whimsical. It's perfect. But
yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. But what about you? What's your favorite part?
The same. The house is a character. Really? Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah.
Oh my god.
This is fun. I like this. Why can't there be more of this in the book? I would be much more interested.
I literally caveated, like, I don't know what I was thinking a week ago. And you're like, same, girl. Like, what?
Well, no. Like, so I know I've been shitting on it, but there were a few things about this book that I really did like. The science, when they were getting into the DNA talk and the differences between species. That was all very interesting. The house as a character, Tabitha the cat.
Oh my God, I love Tabitha.
She has terrible taste in men.
Okay, rude.
Which is, you know, also her parents. Like, when they would always talk about her parents, and it's harsh, but I was like, I'd rather read a book about her parents. Because I find that story to be much more interesting than what's happening currently in the book.
Maybe we get more from the parents in book two. Maybe not. Maybe we do.
I figured, like, as the series goes on, the parents probably come more into it. But yeah, no, there were some really interesting, nice, fun parts to it. It was just, let me see what
it seems like you just wanted them to edit it. You're like, just get rid of some of this. It's kind of boring sometimes.
We're going to talk about that in my spicy snippet at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
I had to make sure. I was like, wait, where did I put that tidbit? I don't remember. I did this yesterday or something. You know, this book wasn't all bad. Speaking of bad, least favorite part.
So I do want to preface this because I have to preface apparently every one of my answers with the fact that, okay, so the book primarily takes place or the book primarily is coming from the main character's perspective and also the main characters. I guess it's both main characters. We can just say that they're equivalent. Yeah. So both of them, it's from their perspective. So we don't get everything that's happening behind the scenes. If you watch the show, you get everything that's happening behind the scenes as well, which was missing in this book. But in the show, they talk a little bit more about Satu, and you get a little bit more of her backstory, and you get a little bit more of her vibe and her energy. But my least favorite part is where Satu abducts and tortures Diana at La Pierre, which is a kind of the ruins of an old castle that Jaber, another very old fucking vampire, has owned for many years. So it's basically a torture scene. And as we know from Outlander, torture scenes are fucking terrible every time. So that's the worst, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was a bit rude, to say the least.
I mean, the book is really intense about all the terrible atrocities that I mean, she's like carved and burned and held upside down and, you know, all sorts of things that she's like really, really wounded afterwards, and she just has these big open cuts, and it's just really traumatizing. But I'm sure you have a better least favorite part than that, because mine's too serious. What's your least favorite
part?
Probably
not.
Okay, fair.
The pretentiousness of this book. Like, why am I constantly hearing about what all their wine and tea and food tastes and smells like? So here's the thing, and it was the same issue with her rowing and yoga and da, da, da. I was like, okay, I get it, you're into fitness, cool. I only like an in-depth description, typically I only need one, and then you can just passerby words or a sentence like, oh yeah, I did my yoga this morning and then I had my coffee, you know, just so we don't have to be like, oh yes, and then I did this movement and blah blah blah, and oh, rowing through the blah blah blah, this is what it smelled like, this is what it tasted like, this is what it looked like, this is what it felt like. I was like, okay, it's okay, we just did this already like a chapter ago, I don't know why we're doing it again.
They were showing examples of how she closes her eyes and uses her magic without realizing it. It's supposed to be examples, Ashley, examples.
It was gratuitous
examples. We did not need so many. No, I get it. Like, gratuitous, it's a lot of words. Exercise. Yeah. It's a lot of exercise. It's like, oh, I'm exhausted just hearing about it. Chill
well,
out.
Not bro. Even that. I was just kind of like, I thought, what about the manuscript? What I thought we're getting into that, and now she's like rowing. I don't give a shit. I want to know about the book. Like, I don't care. You're out there, like, and also you're rowing by yourself after it's been made very clear that creatures are following you and want to harm you, and you're just like, I'm gonna go out and row. You know, like the constant repetitiveness of certain things that weren't necessary to the story. Like, and again, there were parts that I really liked, and it's like, I want to hear more about that. Like, I don't give a shit about this. I want to hear more about that. This doesn't further the plot. This is just more world building that we don't actually need, because you already talked about this.
Yeah. I don't think the exercise happens at all in the second book. I think it doesn't happen in, honestly, the second half of this book even.
They're trying to set up her lifestyle. No, you're right. No, but they're trying to set up her lifestyle. But at the very beginning of the book, it's like right out the gate, you're talking about this manuscript and da da da. Now people are following her. And then all of a sudden she's just like, let me go through my daily routine. And it's like, no, this is backwards. You should have done this to begin with and then brought up the manuscript. This is backwards. This is like stalling out now. And my brain's like, I don't want to listen to this.
I wonder if
just kind of.
I wonder if Harkness was trying to just be like, I want to grab him with something juicy. It's like, sure, I get that. But a manuscript, an old ass dusty ass manuscript is not the way to do it, girl.
Well, she's a historian. Like, to her, that's like her bread and butter.
I get it. But we want to hear about Diana like running and seeing all the beautiful, you know, because man, Cambridge is beautiful. Like, let's hear about Cambridge. Let's see her, you know, have a run first. And then she leads herself off and talks a little bit about her history and then goes over and then opens the manuscript. Like, again, it's the order of the events. That's the problem.
So then, and this is like part of the pretentiousness is very hipster. It was very like, at one point I remember thinking to myself, is Matthew a sommelier? Like, he is just constantly discussing wine. And again, what about this dusty ass book she was talking about at the start? We've been talking about wine for like probably like a whole chapter. I like, what is
fake watch? 5 years fake watch?
are we on a tasting tour at Oxford? Like, I what? So I would just get sidetracked because I'm like, wait, what? No, what? Where are we? Why are you what talking about this?
Yeah.
But no, and it just kept going on. And then there was like this scene where he was basically name dropping all of the fancy European libraries he's been to. And I was like, okay, we get it, sir.
We get it.
You're cultured. We get it. You're super cultured. Cool.
Well, he's old AF. Old AF, I think, is really...
So then that all was happening. And I was like, okay, this is a bit much. But what really got me with him... I don't know if you listened to the audiobook. I think you did.
I did. Mm-hmm.
The British to French and back accent was terrible.
I just want him to have a French accent all the time because he's French. Why didn't he just have a French accent the whole time?
Okay, is he putting on the British accent for his new identity?
Yes.
And it's like, okay, that's cool. But I don't know. It just didn't work in the audiobook for me. I was like, this is annoying. Why are we even doing this?
And if that is the case, then why does Isabeau still sound so French and she's older than him and she doesn't sound like a new like British or whatever accent? She still sounds super fucking French.
Okay, Diana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like other witches. I don't use my powers, even though I do subconsciously. Which I get, like it is explained more in the latter half of the book.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that were really annoying in the beginning are explained away in the second part of the book. And you're like, okay, anyways, that was still annoying. Okay, now we get it. I'm moving on. But okay, she, in the first half of the book, I was like, why is she constantly crying, screaming, throwing up? Again,
mm-hmm.
it is that is explained too in the latter half of the book. But it's
she has extreme anxiety attacks that cause her to be puking, screaming, throwing up, whatever. I guess puking and throwing up are the same thing. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Come on. But also, I think the not using her power thing is not a pick me thing. It's more like a when I was 7 and I stopped being able to use my magic and my aunts were trying to teach me and I couldn't do it. I think that's why. It wasn't just because like, I refuse. It was like, I can't fucking do it. So I'm not going to fucking do it. Like, that's how I took it. But
partially. But then she just kept being like, I don't use my power. And it's like,
yeah. It's like, you do, though. You do.
You walk around and do shit with your eyes closed. What do you mean?
Where do you think your sight is coming from if your eyes are closed?
Yeah, and like... her aunts are trying to be like, okay, anyways, you're a witch. Yeah. It's time to accept it. Yeah. And she's like, I don't use my powers. Meanwhile, she's walking down the street with her eyes closed, not running into anything. You're like, okay. And I love she's when smelling she's... sounds with her eyes closed.
She's like trying to figure out how all the pieces fit together, and she's like visualizing a like white room with a table and all the pieces, and they're all fitting together. And I'm like, what do you think that is? Do you think that's just imagining? Because that's not what imagining is like, bitch. Come on, you know what you're doing.
I'm not expecting her to be a perfect character. Like, none of these are perfect characters. Like, pretty much most of these characters, like, they're flawed, which is normal, it's natural.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because certain parts of the book went on for so long that it just got to a point where it's like, okay, I'm sick of this. No one gives a shit, Diana.
Right.
You consumed your twin in the womb. You use your powers. Get over it. Let's move on. Let's get back to that dusty ass book that everyone was talking about like 500 pages ago that hasn't really been talked about again other than in passing.
Yeah.
Let's get back to that. Let's talk about some DNA. Let's like, I don't know.
Focus on some relevant information and not
tea and wine. Give a shit about that. What the fuck moment?
Hell yeah. So my what the fuck moment was Diana agreeing when Matthew is dying. She agrees to give the goddess anything. Anything? Anything. Are you sure, bitch? Anything? Do you know what anything means? Anything means eventually you might have to save Matthew down the road again. But you've already agreed to give the goddess anything. So guess what? This time you get nothing because she takes him. That's anything. Anything could literally be a potential spoiler. A baby. Anything could be fucking anything. Don't agree to take anything.
Amateur hour over here.
Amateur hour. That's how I felt. I was like, come on.
Oh, yeah. That anything? Was so... I was like, really? Okay. All right. Diana, you're supposed to be so smart.
Yeah. Learn how to do a fucking trade. Learn how to do a deal. I mean, we don't need to have an art of the deal situation here because fuck that guy. But a deal make of some kind. If you make... Right. Any kind of deal, be it demon deal, crossroad demon deal, fucking deal with anything at all, especially an all-powerful being that you and all of your descendants have prayed to. Are you fucking kidding me? You must have specific stipulations. No, you do not say anything. Come on.
You can say anything within my own reasoning.
Yeah, or you could literally just be specific and be like, you can have my firstborn child. Like, be specific.
Who gives a shit? No one
You can have
that.
My left leg. You can have my pinky finger. You can have, when I make some delicious eggs, you can have those. Like,
you
anything.
Can have all this dry ass toast I've been eating the whole book.
Oh my God. Diana literally, and I think it's like one of the first in the show. One of the first scenes of the show is like her eating a piece of toast. And I laughed so hard because I was like, oh my God, they started it out with the fucking toast.
All right. The toast is definitely a thing. It's not just me.
Yeah. What was your what the fuck moment though? Because I feel like you didn't love this book. So I'm sure you had a lot of what the fuck moments.
Well, I've kind of discussed many of them already.
Uh-huh.
Here's the one I haven't talked about.
Uh-oh.
I wish I had an ebook.
Okay.
So I could count, I could look up how many times black trousers are referenced. Stretchy black trousers, fancy black trousers, her dirty black trousers, the cleanest pair of black trousers she had. Does this woman wear anything else other than black trousers?
And leggings. She wears black leggings. Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. I noticed, and I like really, I was like, she's talking about her black trousers an awful lot. You know, I was like, why do we, what?
Like, fetch maybe, me my brown trouser.
Yeah, like, maybe like switch it up and wear like a plaid skirt or like a witchy shit, you know?
I know, it's because she's so like, I'm not a witch though, because I have no powers,
which
seemingly.
Means I can only wear black trousers because obviously witches don't wear black trousers.
No, witches wear long flowy dresses, and I'm
witches dress
a
like
serious
hippies.
Academic, yeah.
I'm at Oxford.
Oh my God. Oxford though.
Like, I don't know. Throw on some khakis, girl. You're at Oxford. Get with it. Throw on, how about some like slacks, you know, some green slacks, you know, like olive green.
That's maybe pretty. A skirt with some knee-high socks and some nice little Mary Janes or something.
Yeah.
Girl. Upgrade.
I thought we were supposed to be all about academia, and like, it's like, I'm pretty sure they're wearing more than black trousers, but fine. Red flags.
Well, I think the number one red flag here is he's a 1509-year-old vampire. She is 30, something like that, you know, 30-ish.
Was she like 33? I don't know. She's in her 30s.
34 or something like that.
She's in her early to mid 30s.
Yeah. So I was thinking in my head 34, but I don't know that that's true. So it's 30. But he's old AF. You know this. You now know this. I love how like he didn't really tell her how old he's. Oh, I'm a vampire. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, how old are you? That's not important. Anyway, let's talk about that book.
Moving on.
Yeah, but no, that's the red flag. I was there
for the biblical times. Don't worry about it.
We didn't keep track of birthdays back then, but I believe I was born in 500. Cool. Neat.
All right.
Yeah, so I'd say that's the red flag. That's the red flag I have. Otherwise, I like this book, so I don't have any red flags. What about you?
Okay. Matthew and Diana kiss. Huh? In front of his mom. Yes. And then it moves on, right?
Okay.
Later on in the story, it comes up again. And basically, Matthew's like, yeah, so we kissed in front of my mom and now we're married. thought you should know.
I thought you should know. Yeah, that is very true. And in fact, in the show, they make it like more of a thing where he's like, listen, if you say that this is a thing, then this is a thing forever, just so you know. Like, he doesn't say we're married, but he does say, like, nice. This is a significant thing. In the book, it was just kind of like, hey, that. Nice to see you. Smooch, smooch. Now we're married. Yeah.
Smooch. Yeah. You're mine forever, bitch. You never get away. Yeah.
Enjoy this not dick. Enjoy not getting any dick.
Hey, we just got married, but I'm not going to say anything because then you can't pressure me for the D because you have no idea we're married. But once you find out we're married, you're going to be like, give me that wedding dick. And I'm just going to be like, no. What's sex? I don't like that. I don't know what that is. Ew.
Have you heard of bundling? Let me bundle you. Like, no.
Ew, don't. Oh.
Don't want to be bundled.
Listen, he was smart, though, because nothing kills the mood faster than bringing up like Amish and Mormon bedroom customs.
Like, nothing turns a girl off faster than saying, have you considered the way the Mennonites do it?
Yeah, and then it's dry as toast. I've never been more dry in my life, thank you.
Yes, but for Diana, dry toast is peak deliciousness.
Yeah. So yeah, and that kind of goes into the rest of the red flag. So he marries you without your consent. Now, the wedding and everything surrounding the wedding is just a big ass red flag. So basically that scene happens. She doesn't know. It gets brought up later on. And he's like, BT Dubs were married. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, and then she didn't really seem bothered by it. That was another like, girl, what?
Well, she was in love. So she was like, that's fine, I guess.
We're not even bringing up the fact that they had only known each other like less than 2 weeks. And then she tells him first, she's like, I love you. And he's like, oh, you mustn't. And then he like leaves and come and like, as he's leaving, he's like,
you know the way I feel about you.
And it's like, actually she doesn't, because you just told her she's not allowed to love you, but sure, go ahead. And so he leaves and then he comes back and he's like, I love you. And you're like, oh, well, a lot has changed in a very small amount of time then. you changed your mind pretty quick there, which is so ironic because I'm pretty sure this all happened after he married her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bitch, what?
Or No.
Did that happen before?
The wedding happens when he comes back and says, I love you. Yeah. So it goes, she says, I love you. He says, you can't. He doesn't say you shouldn't. He says, you can't. There's no way you could love me at this point. No, right.
That's not allowed.
So then, right. So then he goes back to Oxford. While he's in Oxford, we later find out he is writing her into his will and writing that she gets all X, Y, Z, all these properties he has and whatever. Mm-hmm. At this point, she does not know he loves her. And he's doing all this behind the scenes. Then he goes back to, Septor, and then says, I love you. We are now married because we kissed. Then, like I said, later you find out, oh, he's done all this shit before he even returned to Septor and they kissed. So he is like, I already know what's up, but I'm going to bury the lead here.
He's big putting time. The cart before the horse, basically.
Yeah, he's definitely doing that. Yeah. Five carts.
All of the carts. So this is all very confusing and happening very, very fast. So you're thinking, okay, logically, things are moving very swiftly. Okay, they gon' fuck. No.
They go bundle.
Fast and Furious. It's all Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift. As soon as she's like, hey, let me get that dick. And he's like, no. So then that's when he starts talking about bundling and all that. Listen here. That bundling shit, they're fucking. They're just going to slip out of that thing, bang one out, slide back in and be like, oh, what? We just talked all night long and we braided each other's hair and like we held hands and it was just so romantic.
We got mani-pedis. It was great.
Can't wait to get married and you know, have intercourse later, but we won't talk about that because it's sinful. So no, they've cut it out, sir. He's talking about, oh, we bundled. Yeah, you know what else Amish kids do that's not sex? Soaking. They stick their wiener in there and then they act like, oh, well, if I don't move, it doesn't count as sex. And I'm like, do you understand what penetration is, child?
Bigger jumps, James. Bigger jumps.
Oh, God. That's called something, too. When their friends jump on the bed so they have move, you seen, but they're not actually moving.
Have you seen Jury Duty?
No.
Okay. They have a soaking scene and someone else comes in and starts jumping on the bed.
Oh, my. No, that's a thing. That is real. I just found
your
out
jumps,
about
James.
I found out about this shit about 2 years ago. And I was like, this cannot. You have to be fucking kidding me. This is why we need sex education.
For everyone, okay? All the time. I've
for
argued
everyone,
that for years.
All the yes. time, forever. Don't
did
even
you
get me
hear?
Started. Don't even get me started, Matthew.
Did you hear about Brigham Young and how Brigham Young is the Mormon school in Utah, Salt Lake City? They have a very high amount of crabs in armpits. Let your mind wander.
I don't want to.
What? How could they get crabs in an armpit?
Oh my gosh, what? Maybe if they had sex education, they might be smarter about protecting themselves.
Maybe they would not fuck armpits.
Like I said, nothing gets you drier than bringing up all that Amish freaky deaky shit. And which brings me to the next point of red flagginess. Let me get my phone. There's actually a line in the book which just really hits, just drives it home. So now the reason Matthew is all, oh no, we can take our time. Oh, what's wrong with you humans? Such, what's the rush? Da da da. But you also said this. Now I have you. One day you will be gone and my life will be over. Make haste with the digging down then. Like, what are you...
What are you waiting for then? Yeah.
Like, you literally admitted, you know, yeah, you're gonna die earlier than me. It's gonna suck. And mm-hmm. you're turning around to her and being like, what's the rush? We're married. No big deal. It's not consummated at all. It's fine. And you're just like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Learn more about making haste and dicking down on my new podcast, Only Wieners. You knew I was going there as soon as I said learn more. You just died.
I was like, oh my god, here we go again.
Infinite callback.
The whole marriage and then not consummating the marriage. Mm-hmm. Huge red flag. And alternatively, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean,
I think there's reasoning for it.
Yeah.
So in, there are other scenes. Mart?
Mart.
Mm-hmm. Mart's, is it the housekeeper?
Yeah, you suppose housekeeper of Septor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, who is an old woman who was turned into a vampire as an old woman, which I think is hilarious. She's just an old
mad.
Woman.
Do you think she's low-key mad?
I would be. I'd be, could you not have done this maybe like 20 years prior? Like, I know time is nothing to you, you vampire people, but could you not have like maybe made me like 50 instead of 70? Like, what?
You know? Sure. So Mart makes this, you know, yet again descriptions of tea. She makes this tea
medicinal.
Medicinal tea and makes mm-hmm. and like basically makes Diana promise because she's drinking it every day while she's there. Mm-hmm. And then Mart makes more for her when she's I don't remember where they went to, but she's getting ready to leave and Mart's like, hey, take this tea with you. Promise me you'll drink it every day no matter what. Mm-hmm. And yeah. you're like, huh.
Wonder what that could be.
this doesn't sound like herbal contraception at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what it ends up being, because they talk about later that Diana is so special that she can procreate with other creatures, apparently, and allegedly, like, oh, that's not done. It can't be done. It's impossible. And it's like, but she's so special.
So they're like, regular human birth control won't work, is the general underlying theme there. Is like, we have to give you these herbs and, you know, ancient medicines so that you won't have a baby, because condoms won't work, birth control pill won't work, IUD won't work, sorry.
And Matthew is just like, I don't trust this woman to drink her tea every day, so she's not getting any of this. I ain't ready for no kids. I ain't ready for no baby. So that's,
I mean, who among us?
Are you ever ready? Like, truly?
No, never. Thank you.
But yeah, so that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now that everyone's been horrified with the knowledge of soaking and whatever the jumping thing is, there's a bigger name, James. Now I have to watch this movie.
The show, Jury Duty, is amazing. It's on Prime. It's made by the people who made The Office. It's a mockumentary. Everyone on the show knows it's a show except for one person on the jury. He is a real person that does not know that it's all actors.
Really?
It is so funny. It's been nominated for awards, Emmys and stuff. Okay. It is so good. Like, I cannot stress enough that you need to watch Jury Duty. It's on Amazon Prime. I don't know where else it is. I don't know. It's really good, though.
So now that we've died again, laughing at the dumbest shit, is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
Yes. Unlike last book, yes. This book, I believe, the big takeaway is, don't fight who you are. If you have abilities, lean into them. In Diana's case, they are magical. Don't try to quash them. Lean into your abilities. You have them for a reason. Whether you're human, whether you're a creature, lean into your abilities. Stop fighting who you are, you dumbass. Like,
use your skill set.
Yes, exactly. Understand what your strengths are and use them to the best of your ability. So that's kind of a serious answer. But what about you? What do you think? What's your takeaway?
Very unserious. Wine and tea are the epitome of class and sophistication. Okay.
And
I don't know if you knew that, but this book totally tells you throughout, multiple times, hundreds of thousands of words. You could probably fit it in like 5 chapters with how much they mention it. Just so as you know.
At the end of the book, you come out of it being a licensed sommelier. And...
Yes. I'm going to go work in a wine shop. I know everything I need to know.
Would you like to work at a winery? Read A Discovery of Witches.
All the training you need.
That's all you need. That's all you need. You can be a vampire. It's great.
Do you have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book?
This book is fantastic. But the rest of the books might even be better. Read the rest of the books. Read the rest of the books, guys. They're really good. This book, I liked a lot, I'm not gonna lie. But the other books are better. I mean, who doesn't love time travel? I mean, you know, I love time travel and alternate realities. The rest of the books are really good and I love them. And that is the only hot take that I have, because I really like this book. But what about you? No, it's okay. We're allowed to have different preferences. That's okay. I probably wouldn't like a lot of the other books that you read. That's all right. This one is just
my has their own taste. Like, I read fucking trash sometimes. I'm like, oh, this is like McDonald's of rom-coms. Love it. So
what is this garbage?
It's hot garbage. And that's a genre.
It's sexy garbage.
Sexy garbage.
I'm sexy Oscar the Grouch in my sexy garbage can.
Knocking my headphones off and laughing so
hard. Enjoy editing this one.
I just learned the blooper reel on this.
If you want to learn more about sexy garbage. I can just do so many setups. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, my stomach hurts. Okay. All right. Oh, I'm crying again. I've never cried so much during an episode. Such a sad book.
I just do that to you. I just make you cry all the time.
It's true. Okay, so my spicy snippet, which we did touch on this a little bit before, this was not 100% a bad book. My spicy snippet is that about 75% of this book you could trash. It was not necessary to me, but that's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
So I have attention issues, so that's part of it. And everyone reads differently. Everyone has different tastes. I'm also a moody bitch. I'm a mood reader too. So oftentimes I will start a book, get a certain amount of the way through, and it's like, you know what? I'm not feeling something else. Yeah, like I'm not feeling this right now. I'm gonna go read something else and then come back to it. Because I know if I force myself to finish that book in that moment in time, I'm gonna be like, I didn't enjoy this.
Right.
Because it didn't hit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I was in the mood to read something else. So that is, I do think that is part of it. I did think to myself, like, oh, you know, I could watch the show.
Yeah.
I could watch the show and kind of and get the gist.
Yeah. And first of all, the show cuts out all the yoga scene from the first book. It cuts out like a lot of extra that we really didn't need.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, there were reasons she put it in there. I'm not saying she's a bad author. I love these books, like I said. But yeah, there's some editing that maybe could have happened that wasn't 100% needed. And in the show, they were like, all right, we don't need that because time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would recommend if you don't want to read the books, which are superior to the show, then watch the show.
Moving on to the speed round.
Speed round. Fight.
I feel the need for speed.
I feel the need for more tea and wine. Bring it on. More deliciousness.
You know, Diana had a need for nuts. Matthew's nuts specifically.
And D's nuts, yeah.
D's
yeah.
nuts, but Matthew's.
Yeah.
D's, I'm still mad. I had an inkling that the reason he wasn't consummating it had to do with her getting knocked up, but still I was just like, douse your wiener in the tea.
Maybe if I decide to once again listen to the second book, I will send you the exact chapter. And page number, whatever, that they fuck. So you can just like check out that book, just listen to the scene where they fuck.
I don't even care. It's just, it's like, dude, you married her without her consent. And then you belatedly tell her she wasn't even fucking mad. She's like, all right, cool. Let's consummate our marriage. And he's like, no. What if we act like we're Amish? And she's just like, bitch, what? And then, like, at least they fooled around, because that, oh my god, if he was just, like, cold turkey nothing, I'd have been, like, divorce.
Yeah, or if he was just like, you're allowed to go down on me, but I'm not going to go down on you, she'd be like,
divorce.
Issues, yeah.
Immediately. Who would you want to be besties with and why?
Okay, so originally I put a different answer, and then I came back and rewrote it. Sarah, Diana's Aunt Sarah. Because she's loud, she's quirky, and she calls it like she sees it. She has big red hair. She's just kind of wild and chaotic. She's a lesbian. You know, she's a witch. She's rad. Like, she would be my bestie, I think. Who would you, Ashley, want to be besties with and why?
I'm going to go with Tabitha the cat and or the house.
Hell yes. Hell yeah, yes.
The house, you know, if we were on friendly terms, the house would just be doing all kinds of cool shit for me.
Yeah, if you need to hide anything, you just tell the house, we need to hide this. And the house is like, cool. That's like, the sound that it makes.
I need to hide myself from everyone. And then it would just be like, shoop. And then I'd just be in a secret room.
The house is like, I got you, boo. And then you're suddenly just in a weird, non-existent passageway.
Living
you're like,
my antisocial dream. And Tabitha's with me.
Yeah, perfect. There we go. Love it. That's all an amazing answer.
I don't know if you can, like, get a sense of my mood from this book report. Who do you want to throat punch and why?
I think we probably likely have the same answer, and that is Peter Knox. Peter Knox is the absolute worst.
So rude.
He gets in her brain. Like, he starts, like, talking to her through her mind. And she's like, get the fuck out of my head. What is wrong with you? Yeah, and then he gets grosser and worse throughout the series. So he's the worst. I mean, actually, I take that back. He is one of the worst. There is a really terrible character in the second book that
is... Well, that one old-ass vampire guy was like, and then you'd be mine. And I'm like, oh, Jabert. So you don't believe in consent? Okay, cool. I thought you were old enough to understand the concept, but sure.
Jabert is really terrible, yes. Did you have the same person, or do you have someone else you would like to throw a punch?
I had a different person. You're not going to like it. It's fine. Here we go.
Was it Matthew?
Matthew, Sebastian, Gabriel, Gertrude, Bertel, whatever the fuck his name was, and the-
Yolanda.
Okay, what is that? Is it from Princess Bride where he's like, my name is blah 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 blah, 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 you killed my father or something?
Yes,
like that.
Prepare to die. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking of every time they would say his full name. It's like 5 to 7 different names, and it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah,
we get it. You're really old. Book,
in the second book, he has a different last name that's none of those.
Oh my god!
It's like, why? Why on earth? You strange
for that,
man.
For that alone, he's getting it. Who would you want on your side in a fight, and why?
Isabeau or Isabeau?
Yeah,
she is fierce. That's like the most accurate word I could get to describe her. She is just like this force of just ferocity. Everything she does it with that ferocity, with that, like, you know, deep-seated passion, and, you know, including love, and, you know, she's a real vicious character, but in, like, in a caring way with people she loves, you know?
I really liked her character, actually.
A lot.
There was a part where she's very blunt.
Yes.
Which sometimes you need.
Yeah.
I really appreciated that about her. She wasn't taking any shit. She was telling it like it is. There was a scene where she pretty much calls Diana out, and she's like, you need to grow up and take responsibility for yourself and your abilities.
Yes.
She's like, girl, you need to get it together. Yeah. And I was like, yes, absolutely. 100% agree.
Yep. She's a witch.
I liked her character a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's like, you're a witch and you need to be a witch and stop fighting this. Like, get on it.
Like, get over it.
Yeah. But who would you want on your side in a fight? Because I'm curious to hear, since you would throat punch Matthew, who you want on your side.
100%. The house, again.
Yes. Yes.
Because I could just be chilling. We're about to get bad company. And the house would just be like, ta-da, here's some weapons.
Yeah, or ta-da, I'm gonna, like, fling the door into their face.
Yeah, ta-da, there's no more entry. It's just one solid block, and no one can get in. There are no doors or windows anymore.
Yeah. Perfect.
So, yeah, perfect. Love it. Who would you cast for these characters or zodiac signs?
All right, so this time, because I had made such a stink, and I will continue to make such a stink, about the characters not being portrayed correctly in the show. On the show, Matthew is supposed to be like 6'5" or something. Like, he's supposed to be tall AF. He's supposed to have broad shoulders. He's supposed to be scary big, not built like muscular, but just like scary big and lean. On the show, he's like, normal size. He's all right, but he's not tall enough. He's not wide enough, whatever. And then to compensate, they make Diana be short. And Diana is also supposed to be very tall for a woman.
I think for show, I think Matthew Good really encapsulates Matthew's attitude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree, because I remember reading this, and then I looked up the cast, and Matthew Good is Matthew. That's not Matthew and Matthew.
Which is funny, yeah.
They're like, oh, you have the same name, you have the job.
Yeah.
But him is Matthew, and then Teresa Palmer is Diana.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to recast them. So
yes,
I am recasting Diana Bishop. And yes, I did Google tall actresses. Thank you very much. And I did find that Blake Lively is 5'10". So Blake Lively is who I am choosing, because she's also 36 years old and blonde, and she looks just like how they describe Diana Bishop, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now for Matthew de Clermont, I'm going to go with one of the Skarsgård boys, because both of them, well, both Bill and Alexander are 6'4". So we're going to go with that, is pretty close. And they also have that kind of lanky, you know, tall, lean build. And then Bill is 33. Alexander is 47. So neither one of them is 100% perfect for the role, but I think Bill's definitely closer.
I was gonna say, I think Bill would be closer. He has darker hair, and his face is his features are very stark.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Not in a bad way.
I think, like, in an attractive way.
He has, like, very extreme, like, bone structure.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way.
I agree. He's very sharp. But also, I think a lot of it is the fact that the first thing I ever saw Bill Skarsgård in was not It. I first saw him in Hemlock Grove.
Same.
So I get that vampire vibe from him, yeah. Which in Hemlock Grove, he was technically an upir, which is like a Russian vampire. But no, I think he could definitely play that French vampire vibes of Matthew de Clermont. So I'm going to go with Blake Lively, Bill Skarsgård.
I cast as well.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
And mine don't necessarily match the descriptions of the characters. I was just kind of going off of vibe.
General vibe.
General vibes. For Diana, at first I was thinking Emily Browning, but Evan Rachel Wood.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that.
She's kind of tall.
Like, yeah, she is.
Kind of tall, and she would look very academic, you know, in those black trousers. And then for Matthew, you know, I didn't... It's no secret by this point. I wasn't a super fan of his character.
Mm-hmm.
And just an actor that I think could really pull off just being really pompous. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Who I love. And I think I cast him in the last book that we read.
Probably. I could totally see him just being like, yes, this wine smells like blah, 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 blah. All right.
Did you come up with a reality show that these characters would be on? Because I found that very stressful and difficult.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Oh my god. I was not expecting that.
It was the first thing that popped in my head. And I was just like, I was just being a bitch.
So. You were like, black trousers, what not to wear. That's
like, they just open her, you know, when they open their closets, it's just all black trousers, nothing. Like, her tops, yes. All her bottoms are black trousers, no dresses, no nothing.
It's like 50% black trousers, 50% turtleneck sweaters.
That's what we think. Let's see what some other people think. We got some Goodreads reviews here. We're going to go low to high. So we're going to end... on Elena's side.
We're going to start on Ashley's side and we're going to end on my side.
Yeah. No. Team Elena.
Perf.
Zoe gave it 1 star. DNF, like Twilight on steroids. Super rich, powerful vampire boyfriend shows you all the ways he can control your life. Plus yoga and horses? ? Okay. So apparently a lot of people call this adult Twilight fanfic. It's such a generalized, okay, he's a vampire, that's about, and he's controlling.
Yeah. What
that's
else
about
is
it? Like, you know how many other books have that in there?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I think it was maybe the timing of when this came out was probably during the Twilight craze.
That's fair, but other than that, I don't see any similarities, honestly.
Yeah, other than, like, the watching in the sleep thing, it reminded me of a Twilight scene, but other than that, I was like, I don't really see it. Jen gave it 1 star, all caps. I'm free. Worst fucking experience of my life.
Okay. I want to live in her world where that's her worst experience.
Listen here, Elena. These are the very short ones. People, they wrote novellas about how much they hated this, and I was like, I don't care that much.
Yeah, but to each their own again.
So these are the nicer.
These ones. Are the quicker
they're
ones.
Faster, just rip it off like a band-aid. Dahlia gave it 1 star. Never have I read something where describing a casual meal took easily 50 plus pages. It really isn't necessary to tell me the entire backstory, trials and tribulations of a carrot.
Again, not my experience, but that's fine.
Tribulations of a carrot.
I want to know about these carrots. Tell me more.
Elena needs to know about the carrots, guys.
But in a scholarly way.
I just included that one because of the carrot line. I was like, oh my god, yeah. What the
fuck? Give me that carrot, but in a high vocabulary kind of way.
Flick the nose.
Flick the nose. Yeah, I will. I'm pretentious, yeah. Apparently. Go on.
I mean, who isn't? It depends on what it's about, but everyone's pretentious at some point about something. Mm-hmm. Alex gave it 2 stars. Disappointing. Started off extremely promising and devolved into nothing. Literally, all caps, nothing happened for 400 pages. By the end, I was just hate reading this to see if, all caps, anything of consequence happened. Which is interesting because, you know, you said that the first part of the book was boring for you, but I saw in quite a few reviews it was the opposite for a lot of people. So I guess it's just, it's really, what are you into?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you're super into history and libraries and academia and whatnot,
the Bodleian.
Like if you're into that, then yeah, the first part of the book is for you. Mm-hmm. And the second part of the book gets more in depth into the creature history, like their politics and what's happening.
Right. Which I'm like, give me more of that. Tell me more about their histories. Tell me more about the way they work, how their powers work. Like if you're reading a book about magical creatures, shouldn't you want to know about magical creatures? And also to say that nothing happened, I'm sorry. That's hyperbole.
Hello, they got married and bundled.
They had a kiss. Are you dumb? Like
they totally smooched on the lips. Let's see. Sarah gave it 2 stars. Well, well, Mary Sue, Mary Sue, Mary Sue. I haven't encountered you for a few books, and now I know where you've been keeping yourself. You know the definition of Mary Sue?
No.
It's like a super capable, like, female character. She's just good at everything she does automatically.
Got it.
So I thought it meant boring.
I thought maybe Pollyanna or something, but apparently not.
At least in the second half of the book, I could definitely see the Mary Sue aspect.
She has DNA markers to be able to do every type of magic that exists. That's pretty amazing. That does make her special. So
there are a lot of characters, especially in fantasy and paranormal, that are like that. Books with Maddie gave it 3 stars. This book was mentally exhausting to read.
That's fair. There's a lot but see, that's my argument. There's a lot going on.
Oh yeah. Niella gave it 3 stars. It's very 2010s when vampires were everything. Yes, fair. Lindsay gave it 4 stars. Hardly anything happened. The spice was PG. There was a threat of a Renesmee, and yet I all caps still somehow really liked it. Okay.
Don't mention that name to me. Don't mention that name to me. I don't need it in my life.
There's a threat of a miracle creature child. And that is a trope, too, that it's just in a bunch of paranormal romance. Alice gave it 4 stars. Loved this book. In fact, I even read this on my iPad while I was driving on the highway.
Oh no.
I don't recommend that, but I heartily recommend this book.
Girl, I hope she was listening to the audiobook. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Don't be like, reading while you're driving on the highway.
Just listen to an audiobook. Calm down.
Jesus Lord. Christ. She's like, I would stop at red lights on the highway.
Oh my god. Jeannie gave it 5 stars. Amazing. I was like, this is very Elena coded. I like this one.
I mean, I agree, but also.
Yeah. Rachel gave it 5 stars. I love, love, love this book. It's sort of Outlander meets Twilight. If Twilight was for grown-ups and Stephanie Meyer was a good writer.
All right, I'll take that. I'll take that. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I get so mad about Twilight comparison, because I'm like, I've read snippets and that is trash. That is not as good of writing as this. Like that is comparable in any way.
Okay, big moment. How many and what kind of phallic symbol would you rate this book?
Well, Ashley, I'm really, really happy that you asked this question, because although you've always asked this question,
every time.
I just really, you know, I always struggle with this question because I'm like, I don't want to do something as simple as like magic wands or whatever, because they didn't really use magic wands in this book, even though they're witches. I'm going to go with potentially the most important thing that was used in this book, that we focus so much time, so many chapters, so many words. I'm going to go with 5 out of 5 rowing oars. gonna go with the rowing oars because they are so important to this book, and how often Diana likes to row is just so, so important.
It was so important. I was waiting for you to say bundle, I swear.
5 out of 5 bundles. Bundles are not phallic shaped.
I know. I was like, she's gonna go with like a lumpy bundle watch.
Listen, all right, if you want to find out about more comparable shapes to phallic symbols, check out my new podcast. Only wieners.
Never know.
Only wieners and rowing oars.
Okay, so you said 4.
I said 5 out of 5. Oh. My first perfect score ever.
Calm down.
On my book, 5 out of 5. The book I chose.
The book I chose.
The book I chose gets 5 out of 5 rowing oars. So what about you? Phallic symbol rating? What are you thinking? You want to do 5 out of 5 like me? I mean, I think that that's where we're at, right? No. Okay.
I give it 1.75 rowing oars. Just rip off that band-aid just real quick. That's okay, fine. Moving on.
That's fine. You're allowed to be wrong. It's okay.
I'm wrong all the time. It's fine.
No, it's fine. We can disagree on that.
Yeah. It just didn't hold my attention. Again, there were good aspects, but this was just so long and I felt like so much of it to me I just didn't care about.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
All right. So it is time for the bi-weekly boner.
Hell yeah.
This week's boner is from a Medium article called 36 Classy Overwrought Euphemisms for Penis, or How a Dead Pornographer Can Help You Add Value to Your Dick.
Hmm.
We're using this article again.
Perfect.
All right. This is a long-winded one. Not unlike this book. Okay. Not the plaything of a boy, not the weapon of a man, but a maypole of so enormous a standard that had proportions been observed, it must have belonged to a young giant.
Oh, shit. That's a big one.
I feel like Matthew, what's his name's, would describe his wiener like this.
De Clermont.
Oh, no, I meant like the 5 to 10 first names he had.
Oh, okay. Fair. Yeah, fair.
I don't think we need to put it in a sentence because it's a sentence in and of itself.
It sure is.
All right. That's the dignified dongle for this week. Let's move on to the question and poll. All right. What should our question be?
Now you're asking me.
What kind of wine and tea do you like? What is your favorite name of Matthews?
Yes. Mine is Yolanda.
Oh my god. Beatrice.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck.
No, I like the Bertrand one that he hates. He hates Bertrand and he won't answer to Philippe. Yeah. That.
Oh. Ooh. Okay, that could be the poll. What if we do the question of what would you want the house to do for you?
Ooh.
If you could have the house manifest any object for you, what would it be? And then someone's going to be like, a dildo. Like, I'm sure someone's going to.
Free healthcare.
Free healthcare.
I would like my answer to be free healthcare. Thank you.
No more existential dread.
Okay. Yes. Perfect. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? The house could present us with your new podcast, Only Wieners.
If you would like to hear more about Only Wieners, just ask your host to manifest
the
it for
listeners,
you.
The listeners, like, I swear to God, if they bring up Only Wieners one more time, I'm going to throw my phone across the room.
Listen, Only Wieners is an amazing podcast that will soon exist. And, you know, I think everyone needs to just lean into it and not fight it. Don't fight Only Wieners.
Don't fight. We're 12-year-old boys. Okay. All right. So the poll is going to be, which is your favorite of Matthew's names? Okay.
Matthew, Gabriel, Philippe, Bertrand, Sebastian, de Clermont. After Sebastian is actually Yolanda. They forgot.
Gertrude's in there also. Yeah. Matthew, it sounds like a sneeze. Actually,
every time he's supposed to say Matthew, someone comes by and goes, "God bless you."
So tight. And then she kills them.
Yes. All right. Let's wrap this up.
We're gonna die. We gotta get I've cried too much.
Lord.
Elena, we did it. Thanks again for coming on the pod.
Of course. You know I always die laughing and have a great time. So thank you for having me back for the eighth time.
Is it really your eighth time? Are you sure? Is it not more?
Last time I said eighth accidentally and it was actually seventh. This time is really eighth.
Okay. Fake out.
I know. I don't know why I thought it was.
You were just so busy working on Only Wieners.
You know, that's my new passion. Hashtag dicks, please. And the podcast is called Only Wieners. Get ready.
Only Wieners. Get ready.
Hold on to your wieners and get ready for Only Wieners.
Why?
What's wrong with me?
We've had a lot of wine. Join me back here in 2 weeks for our next read, Gear Breakers by Zoe Hana Makuta. And remember
to fix each other's frowns, and don't let the dicks get you down.
Toodles.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group, where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.